God of the waters, water of birth,
of safety into the world,
water of connection, engaging the playful spirit, the passionate Christ, the challenging God. God of the waters, water of life, sustaining, quenching, cleansing. God of the waters, water of trouble, journeying us from here to there, from the known to the unknown. God of the waters, birth us, connect us, live in us, trouble us. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Haere mai e te tangata whenua, haere mai e te manahiri. Welcome to St Andrew's on the Terrace on the second Sunday in the season of creation, when we are going to be meditating and reflecting on oceans and seas in particular. Welcome to the people of this community and place, and a very special welcome to you if you're visiting with us today or if you are just an occasional attender. We do have tea and coffee at the back of the church after the service, and we do hope that you will stay, have a drink and lively conversation with us. This morning we will stay seated for sharing the peace, and then after that we're going to go straight into a time of gathering and reflection, and then move straight into the prayers. The prayers are responsive, so just keep an eye on your order of service so that you'll know when it's time to start joining in. Peace be with you. And also with you. Peace be with all living things and beings. Kia ora tātou. All are welcome here. The season of creation, we reflect on rivers and lakes and ocean. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Smell the seawater. Taste the salt. Let it go. Close your eyes. Breathe in the tang, the heat, the brine. See the waves, the driftwood, the wading birds. Inhale the memory of fish and sandcastles and kites and gulls and bonfires. Feel the sand hot underfoot. Cool where wavelets creep up the beach. Breathe freely and deeply. Sense the tides, the depths, the currents. Feel their moon pull. Touch that space within you that yearns to return to the ocean where all life came from. Gather them up, the sensations, the memories, the pleasure. Cast your net wide. Draw on the deep, 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 deep navy. The bright, bright, bright turquoise. The fresh, fresh cobalt. The soothing aquamarine. Gather it up and bring it to this shared time, this time of worship. Settle beside still waters. Prepare to restore your soul. Drink deep from the fountain that never runs dry. As we reflect on the mysteries of the ocean depths, we celebrate the wondrous seas that surround us. May we empathise with the groaning of creation beneath us. May we sense the presentness of God in the tides and currents. May we care for the oceans and all our waterways. May it be so. Creative Spirit, source of life and love, we give thanks for the beauty of this day, and the company of those assembled here. We give thanks for the breezes of change, clearing our heads and bringing fresh ideas. May they cleanse our minds of the oppressions and isms that divide us. We give thanks for oceans of love, rivers of connection, tears of relief, and pools of serenity. May healing waters flow over us and through us and among us, wearing down the sharp rocks of despair to bring joy in the morning. We remember our excitement when waves washed on our feet and sand oozed between our toes. We remember and rejoice. Now, away from the busyness of life and in the silence of this sacred place, let us give thanks for the gift of water and the mystery of an endless horizon stretching out across the ocean. We give thanks for all these and more. We accept our gifts and commit to building, sculpting, painting, singing, and dancing them to life, to abundant life. And we say together the Jesus Prayer, the version which is printed in the order of service. Our God, Father and Mother, from, through, and to whom all lives flow, your name is holy, for you water every creature with life. May the waters rolling in justice come down among us and in your presence. Give us water sufficient for our living, and help us to share water and other resources with those who are dying of thirst. Forgive us our insincerity, insensitivity, and irresponsibility in saving and preserving water, and for our abuse of creation. And teach us to forgive one another. Lead us not into the temptation of accumulation, greed, and power over water, and deliver us from avaricious life cycles. For your word is like water cleansing us from evil. Your rain is righteousness, flowing like an ever-flowing stream, dismantling the powers and principalities from generation to generation, from history to history, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we light the Rainbow Room candle. Each week, we do this to honour the significance of rainbow diversity in our community, and in particular, how important to us are the children and young people. Looks like there's going to be a rush for people who want to light the candle today. Oh, I think Kezia got here first. Yeah. That was some good running.
Before I start the readings today, I just want to recount an anecdote that happened as we were at the back of the church. Roger and I were talking about 9/11, and Bronwyn asked us to open the Bible rather than bring a closed Bible to the front. And our thought was, what about a psalm that we'd open it on? And we opened it to Psalm 79. So for those of you who want to have a look at Psalm 79 afterwards, it was very apt given the thought of 9/11. So the readings today are from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters God called seas. And God saw that it was good. When the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, no grass or plants were growing anywhere. God had not yet sent any rain, and there was no one to work the land. But streams came up from the ground and watered the earth. The Lord God took a handful of soil and made a man. God breathed life into the man, and the man started breathing. The Lord made a garden in a place called Eden, which was in the east, and he put the man there. The Lord God placed all kinds of beautiful trees and fruit trees in the garden. Two other trees were in the middle of the garden. One of the trees gave life. The other gave the power to know the difference between right and wrong. From Eden, a river flowed out to water the garden. Then it divided into four rivers. The Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to take care of it and to look after it.
From Revelation 21 and 22. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Then an angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let everyone who hears say, "Come." And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift.
And from Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. One day, Jesus was standing beside the Sea of Galilee when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "But Master, we've worked all night hard and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus.
The contemporary reading, "We were the men in the upper room." We are the men who meet in the upper room, toasting him over a pint, wishing, hoping, grieving, swapping memories. What more could we have done? Oh, I hate this waiting round. What would he say now? Oh, some mad advice, no doubt. To fisherman Peter, go feed my lambs, my sheep. To theorizing Andrew, put your hand out. Really,
yeah.
Feel the wounds, your pain. To taxman Matthew, do not count the cost. This waiting's for the woman by the tomb. We'd best get on. Get back to work, to fishing, to the living, as if we could change things, as if he was here. Telling stories to our children someday, maybe, our grandsons will write them down. We knew him. He said this. He changed our lives. We were the men in the upper room. Now we mend our nets and ask, do you remember? Waiting for resurrection. Meanwhile, love and duty get us through, and we'll be on the lake at Galilee catching breakfast. For words of wisdom in scripture and story, for inspiration in oceans and sparkling streams, for the proverb of river and the psalm of springs, we give thanks.
It's been a long, fruitless night's work. We know this lake, its rivers and springs and tides, its moods, the rocks and channels. It's the largest lake in this land, so it's often called a sea. It's not huge, but it's our livelihood. It's shore Aotearoa Waewae. Here we mend te kupinga, our nets. When its waves crash, we comfort our tamariki, tell tall stories of the biggest catch, of the ones that got away. But tonight, they pretty much all got away. Faces roughened with spray, hands chafed by ropes, we catch each other's eye across the boat and haul in the nets. The few trapped fish were pee weka weka, and thin and poor condition. We threw them back. Reluctant to go home empty-handed, to expectant wives and pestering kids and rangatahi, that's a bit of a joke, rangatahi is both small nets and the young ones, meddling or sickly mothers-in-law, and I told you so, aunties, or worse, to a lonely furry and our own cooking, we hang about on the shore, mending our nets, spreading them to dry, not hurrying, glad for the mateship, the whānau ngātanga, the kinship of shared experiences and working together. We don't say much. Too bad, bro. Tangaroa wasn't looking out for us tonight. Better luck tomorrow, eho. Along the beach away, one of those wandering healers has been entertaining the crowds. We try to ignore them, these charlatans, these self-appointed prophets with their wild eyes and their messiah complexes. Some of the aunties have wandered over from the village to listen to this one. No doubt they'll have us laughing over dinner with their whakatoi, their mocking. Any more nights like this, and the aunties will suggest we use our boats as ferries if we're no good as fishermen. Then, while we're not paying attention, this fellow appears and, without even asking, gets into Simon's boat. First he asks Simon to row him out from the shore a bit, maybe he thinks we are ferrymen, and then he keeps talking to the people, crowding on the beach, getting in our way, mocking our poor catch. He ignores our tikanga, but he seems to know boats, and he thinks he knows about fishing, because when he's finished talking, and the aunties and the nosy parkers and the unemployed have melted away, he tells Simon, row out further, into deep water and drop your nets for a catch. He tells know-it-all, older brother, whakaputa mōhio, smart Alec Simon, what to do. Let down your nets, he says. Hasn't he noticed we've hardly finished mending them? You'll have a good catch, I dare you. And that's the hook for Simon. Dare him to do something and he'll do it. Bet him he can't, and he'd try to walk on water if he thinks you'd pay up. He acts like he knows this lake better than we do, this wandering preacher with the keen dark eyes, the far-seeing eyes of a ship's captain or a mountain climber, and his undeniable aura of rightness, perhaps even righteousness, and his voice, charismatic, spellbinding. He talked to those people in our dialect. He told our stories to make his point. He knows how to get their interest and keep it. We felt it too, however reluctantly. He was in one of our boats after all. He has this gift for whaka mahorahora, putting people at their ease, making them feel at home. Let down your nets. And we do. It's crazy, but we do it. And the fish! This is surely a story for the Mokopuna. This night of frustration, this morning of the big catch. We strain to haul the nets over the side of the boat. He helps us. The boats are so full of fish they nearly sink. He fits in. He fascinates and terrifies and charms. We're spellbound like the crowds on the shore. Simon's awed by someone so much more confident, so good at convincing people to do what he wants, so much better at fishing even, that he thinks this must be a god or a chief. Brusque with whakama, bashful for the first time in his life, Simon says, "Get away." The stranger looks at him. Although already he feels like whānau, not manuhiri. "Ariki," says Simon. "I'm not worth it. I'm hara. I break tapu. I offend people." "No worries, Simon. Kei ranga no atikwe." Simon's mouth falls open, but no sound comes out. Has this new mate just told him, "You're great at your work. You're the bomb"? That's just what Simon needs to hear. He turns to all of us, the Zaharangi who we'd figured out by now is Jesus from Nazareth. "You're all great fishermen," he says. "But how would you like to try catching people?" Our scripture readings show us word pictures of a creation and a recreation story, as well as tales of Jesus catching his first fisher folk and co-opting them to his mission. Throughout the Bible, water's a potent symbol, a meeting place for humans and their gods. Not only is the ocean the place of generation, but rivers and lakes are invested with spirituality common to many cultures and religions as places of veneration and healing. In the Bible, the term river is used to refer to all kinds of watercourses, including both permanent rivers and wadis. Rivers were places for prayer, for ritual washing and baptism, and boundaries, spiritual and natural. In the Hebrew scriptures, the sea is often a symbol of chaos, and in our hymn tradition, sometimes a metaphor for despair. The ocean paradox, source of life and a place of danger. As inhabitants of an island nation, we in Aotearoa have sun, sand and sea in our veins. Our forebears came here by waka or sailing ship, and our celebration of the birth of Jesus is a special gift to our summers, which for many are characterised by holidays at the beach or near bush-clad riverbanks. But there's the paradox at the heart of our readings, the tension between the garden with its four rivers flowing throughout the known lands and the city which John describes, between our urban sensibilities and the island people who are our Pacific neighbours. So in looking for ideas about a Pacific theology or a local spirituality, I found several interesting perspectives. I wish that there was more time to share them with you. They included an essay on the politics of the city and the sea, which I discovered was by Richard Davis, who many of us know. And Richard is currently lecturer in theology and ethics at Pacific Theological College in Suva. Referring to the image of the new heaven and the new earth, Richard asks, but what about those who dwell outside the city? Some of those are island or coastal people, for whom this might be read as a text of terror, because in verse 1 we read that the sea was no more. But without a sea, there can be no island people or coastal people. The peoples of the Pacific, he writes, should not be defined by their small land mass. They can be defined by the vastness of the Pacific Ocean. The sea has permitted their migration over vast waters, making Pacific peoples the world's best navigators. The sea is a source of food, a pathway to other places, and intrinsic to their and our identity. So when those of us who live on or near the sea and depend on it read that the sea will be destroyed, we ask, why does the sea have to disappear? Can the relationship between the city and the sea be reconciled too? Will the new city include the sea? Richard finds a glimmer of hope in Revelation 21, verse 6, which mentions the water of life that flows from a spring. This isn't seawater, but as everyone knows, all water eventually flows to the sea. Perhaps then, he says, even the sea is not completely forgotten. Here, after all, as God's eternal living water fills the heavens. And at a symposium in 2015, where members of the Colombo Mission Society were brought together at a symposium on shaping an oceanic spiritual theology, Kiwi Father Michael Gormley presented a South Pacific perspective. A vibrant mission spirituality, he says, will be about the way things are, who we are, how we belong, and what we bring to our world. Past, present, and future will come together with a sense of harmony, acceptance, and belonging. An oceanic spirituality will take shape amid signs of our times and the issues of the day. A fresh, creative, imaginative attitude is crucial, says Father Michael. Every authentic cross-cultural journey needs to be an exercise of re-enchantment about God, creation, life, evolution, and religious experience. This involves awareness and imagination about people, faith, gospel, and church, about society, religion, morality, economics, science, and technology, about family, home, neighbourhoods, work, food, clothing, welfare, trade, debt, climate change, and so much more. Well, we left our nets and followed him. Not immediately. Not before we'd taken our catch to the village to be prepared for market. Not before we'd gone home to our whānau and talked and talked and talked, our kōrero lasting long into the night and over the following days. And finally, we invited him to Aumarai to talk with our elders and our wives and our tamariki, who'd have to support themselves if we went with him into the desert, into cities perhaps, into an unknown future. Of course he won them over. He was iwi whenua. He knew us and our people and our whakapapa, and we came to know or suspect his. We had our own name for him. The words have come to mean a notable, charismatic, highly respected leader, but its first meaning, its literal definition, is a canoe mooring post. Jesus, our timu hiranga waka. And it wasn't forever. When we went home to visit the whānau and rest between journeys, we told and retold the tale of the big catch and other stories, and we urged our kamātua to tell our mokapuna, and for them to tell their mokapuna, to tell somehow how Jesus had caught us in the net of his manaakitanga, how he had become our mooring post, and that there's room in his waka for everyone. So may it be. I invite you to stand, and as our affirmation of faith today, we will read the 10 resolutions suggested by Lloyd Gehring from The Greening of Christianity. We say together, let us take time to stand in awe of the self-evolving universe. Let us marvel at the living ecosphere of this planet. Let us set a supreme value on all forms of life. Let us develop a lifestyle that preserves the balance of the planetary ecosystem. Let us refrain from all activities that endanger the future of any species. Let us devote ourselves to maximising the future for all living creatures. Let us set the needs of the coming global society before those of ourselves, our tribe, society, or nation. Let us learn to value human relationships that bind us together into social groups. Let us learn to appreciate the total cultural legacy we have received from the past. Let us accept in a self-sacrificing fashion the responsibility now laid upon us for the future of our species and of all planetary life. These are our resolutions, our affirmations and intentions. Feel a feeling of the earth, its oceans and seas. So may it be. Amen. At this time we gather together our fish, our loaves, our money, and our offerings for the work of this church and for the community we serve. Every good gift comes from our Mother the Earth, our Father the Sky, from the goodness of the land and the bounty of the sea. May Sophia Wisdom speak to us in all creation, and may these offerings be multiplied like the loaves and fishes at Galilee, swelling tides of generosity to those in need, and earth transformed through our generosity of spirit and our gifts. Amen.
We begin our prayers of the people today by praying with Becky Edmonston Lange from her Prayers and Dreamings. Spirit within all, mysterious force giving shape to life, miraculous source and river of being, help us to know who we are, to see our place in the history of the earth and in the family of things. Help us to see that we are part of all that ever was, our grandmother's prayers and our grandfather's dreamings, our mother's courage and our father's hope. In our bones lies the calcium of antediluvian creatures. In our veins courses the water of seas. We are part of all that ever was, born of this earth, riders upon a cosmic ocean. We are not separate from nature. We are nature, part of that same spirit that turned scales into feathers and birdsong into speech. We live by the sun, We move by the stars. We eat from the earth. We drink from the rain. O Great Spirit, help us to know who we are and fill us with such love for this holy creation and gratitude for this awesome gift we call living, that we might claim our inheritance and live out our calling to bless the world and each other with our care. We pray from the prayers in the book from the back of the church. Today, let us remember the families affected by 9/11. And we pray for peace among peoples. We pray for religious tolerance everywhere. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Sri Lanka and Christian World Service partners in Sri Lanka focusing on training and income generation, home gardens, research into sustainable agriculture, and campaigning on the rights of the poor. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament. And today we name Sam Pasetta-Lotulinga and Tim McIndoe and the members of their electorates of Mongakiki and Hamilton West. Here in Wellington, we pray for the leaders and people of the Pacific Islanders congregation, Newtown. We draw together the prayers of this community by saying together the prayer for St. Andrews. It's on the card in your service sheet. And if you're visiting with us today, please make this a prayer for your people and your place. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love toward all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Of our lives swirl around us, blurring the clear and simple shoreline, challenging our expectations, pushing us off course. At the still centre, Sophia Wisdom speaks from the deeps in us, recharting our course, reminding us to look to the stars. When our footprints turn to puddles and our sandbars liquidise, when through the cloud and mist we hear the shriek of gulls, not the murmur of waves, Christ's Spirit sings in us, peace, be still. And we go out where it's deeper, letting down our nets. When the waves disinterested pound the rocks, and as tempests rage in others' lives and we feel helpless, we cast our bread upon the waters, compass and chart to those imperiled on life's seas, living compassionately, working for peace. We pick up starfish, knowing each one is precious, returning with them to the source of life. Go in peace, and may the creative wisdom of the deep, wide ocean, the challenging teacher of calmed seas and healed lives, and the comforting spirit who leads by still waters, be with you and all you love, this day and always. Amen.